everybody, and welcome to the Aggieville Alley Cats podcast, where come rain, shine, or anything in between, we're here to deliver to you the Kansas State sporting news you so love. I'm Ace Edwards, right alongside
Connor Balthazar.
And welcome to this week's weekly recap, which, full disclosure, we are recording on Wednesday, so if something happens on Thursday, oops.
But yeah, not much to do about it.
Yeah, there's nothing much to say, but before we get into this week's weekly recap, we do want to thank the sponsor of the show, Greg Arthur. And if you want to support the show and be a sponsor of it and get your name read out at the very beginning of every episode, please be sure to check out the supporters link. It really does help keep the show going. But to start off with, we have a brand new member of the K-State football team, and that is a quarterback from UConn, Taquan Roberson. And he comes in from, you know, this last year, throwing for over 2,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 6 picks. And, you know, this is, to me, the quintessential backup quarterback, basically, for Avery Johnson. There is no quarterback controversy between Taquan Roberson and Avery Johnson. This is just an experienced backup option that will hopefully help Avery with a few of the mental things with being a starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's nice to have a guy with this much experience come in. I'm honestly kind of surprised that we were able to get somebody who started all of last year at a admittedly not great program, but his stat line for as not good as UConn was is not as bad as I thought it would be. I really thought that his touchdown interception ratio would be a lot worse, but it was really fine. He started his career at Penn State. This is his last year of eligibility as well, as far as I know. So he's coming in as like a one-year stopgap to let the younger guys on the roster develop a bit more before they're really ready to be the backup. But yeah, this is a pretty good pickup. If he can be close-ish to what like Timmy McClain was for UCF, I'll be pretty pleased, honestly. But I don't expect we're going to be seeing him much outside of fourth quarters. And hopefully we see him in a lot of fourth quarters.
Yeah. We will either be seeing him if the game goes really, really well or if something disastrous happens. The wood has been knocked upon. But, yeah, this is, like I was saying, it is the quintessential backup. And that's not to disparage his skill set. He is, like, a generally pretty solid quarterback up and down. His low touchdown numbers being only 12 is more a product of UConn's offense and how it was built, mostly to prioritize the running game and set up play-action passes. That's also why he has a relatively low completion percentage. But, you know, for this is a pretty good pickup, not only because it's an experienced backup, but, and full credit to Drew Galloway for this, there were multiple G5 schools that wanted Taquan Roberson to go and start for them. And we were able to pull him to come to K-State as a backup.
I'd imagine the sell with someone like Taquan Roberson is, you know, you can go to a G5 and start, or you can come to K-State and play at least a bit and potentially make the college football playoff in your last year of eligibility. Because he's had, last year he was the guy, he was on some quality Penn State teams in the past, so he's seen both be a backup for a really good team or start on a really bad team. And now he's taking the opportunity to try and go win a championship.
Yeah, which, you know, he's in a good place to do so, but again, there's no quarterback controversy. Avery Johnson is the guy. This is just an experienced insurance policy. Because the other insurance policies are redshirt sophomore Jacob Knuth, true freshman Blake Barnett, and a walk-on quarterback transfer from Washburn.
Yeah. Seth Sinovich?
I think it's Seth Sinovich, yeah.
Yeah, that's what, I don't know, I might be making that up, but like that sounds right to me.
But, yeah, this is a good pickup just because experience backup on scholarship.
Well, actually, I think Seth Sinovich might be a former soccer player for Sporting KC. I think his name is, like, Kellen Simonich, something like that. It's one of those two names is correct. I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all we have on the recruiting front. Now we can get into the Batcats, who had a weekend series at West Virginia, who's been a really, really quality team this entire year, especially with J.J. Weatherholt coming back. K-State did end up losing the series, but they did take the first game 4-3. Owen Borma gets credited with the victory, Tyson Neighbors with the save. In terms of offensive performances, notable ones include Brady Day going 2-for-5, 2 RBI, and Kalen Culpepper going 2-for-3 with an RBI and a walk. Nick English 1-for-5 and an RBI. Jaden Parsons going 0-for-2 but collecting 2 walks. And that's pretty much it in the way of good, notable performances. Kyan Lotus did hit a double, as well as Kalen Culpepper and Rafael Pelletier did as well. And this was a torrid day on the base paths for K-State. Brendan Jones ended up stealing 2 bases. Brady Day and Kalen Culpepper each stole 1 each. So despite it only being 4 runs scored, it was a pretty productive offensive day. Left on base number is still too high with 10, but most of that comes from one or two ABs. But solid enough day one performance that really came down to really good pitching.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, is that this was really a banner day for the front line of K-State pitching staff. Owen Borma had one of his best starts of the season, and probably of his K-State career, collecting his 5th win on the year. He went 7 innings, 104 pitches, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks to 8 strikeouts. He did hit 2 batters, but really that's a moot point with how good of a day he had. So he gets his quality start out of this one. So really good start for Borma, who's really rebounded well down the stretch this season, because he had some rough moments this year, but it seems like he's really getting back into a groove recently. Mm-hmm. Blake Dean came in and pitched 1 inning. He had 2 strikeouts, gave up 1 hit, just 21 pitches. And Tyson Neighbors came in, and he put a neat little bow on everything, getting his 7th save of the year. 1 inning pitch, 2 strikeouts, just 11 pitches. He took care of business pretty quickly. Not a lot to really say or write home about how Tyson did. Just 3 pitchers, Borma going most of the way, then the combination of Dean and Neighbors to close it out is a pretty lethal one. So I was hopeful that going into this series we'd get 1 game, and we did that on the first day, so everything after that would have just been gravy for me. So it is good that we got the win on the first day.
Yeah, because the next 2 games didn't go well at all for K-State. Game 2 was a 13-0 loss. Notable offensive performances. Yeah, Connor, have fun.
Brendan Jones went 1-for-3 and drew a walk. Nick English had a hit, struck out twice. Chuck Ingram had a hit.
That's it.
Yeah, there's not really much else to really say here. It was a pretty rough day offensively. There's no way to really get around that. Any day you go 3-for-27 as a team with 12 strikeouts and just 2 walks, there's not a lot you can say. We only left 4 people on base, but that's it. That is not a good thing necessarily.
No.
Because we weren't getting people on base. So, yeah, this was a pretty brutal showing for the Bats.
Yeah, and the pitching performances weren't much better. Jack Wentworth, he had an okay day. 6 1/3, 4 earned runs, 6 total runs, only 4 of them were earned. 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. You'll take that on most days. Adam Arthur going 1/3 of an inning and forcing a ground out, and then the sort of the back end of the game just kind of blew up. Ty Rule only going 1/3 of an inning, giving up 3 runs. Granted, none of them were earned. A walk and a strikeout. I enjoy Ty Rule. Like, I think he's a solid player. I think it's just best that he gets shut down for the rest of this year, because he's lost a lot of his effectiveness. Mason Buss came in for the last inning, gave up another four. None of them were earned. Only gave up one walk. So, again, just brutal, brutal pitching performance. And despite the fact that 13 total runs were given up, only four of them were earned. So it was, again, another brutal defensive performance as well with three errors. All in all, I think everyone involved from a K-State perspective would want to forget that this game ever happened. The only reason why I would even want to remember this game is the image of Jack just getting absolutely destroyed by the rain. Because for no reason, in like the third or fourth inning, it just started raining. It was raining.
Yeah, it was just a torrential downpour there for a while. And then there was like a double rainbow out in the outfield, and that was kind of nice. Although this game got to the point where it was like so out of hand that it like hardly even like really hurt.
Yeah.
It was just frustrating. Yeah, not a good day for anybody, really. There's no one I can look at and say, well, you know, like at least they were fine. Jack's start was fine, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. The six earned run, or the six total runs, is rough, even though only four of them were earned. But yeah, just not a lot to take from this game.
Yeah. And then the last game didn't go a whole lot better. K-State made it interesting in the six, and then it got immediately not interesting again. K-State loses 12-5. Josh Wintrom gets the tough luck loss. I'll give you the option here, since offensively there was really nothing to speak about the last time. Do you want offense or pitching?
I'll go ahead and take the offense.
Okay.
Nick English led off this game, but went 0-for-5, so a pretty brutal day for him. Brendan Jones went 1-for-3, scored two runs. He also drew a walk. Kalen Culpepper, an 0-for-4 day for him, although he did score a run and reach at least once. Brady Day, he went 1-for-4 with a triple that brought Kalen Culpepper in. He ended up with three RBIs on the day as well. So pretty solid day for Brady, although the average probably went down a bit more. Daniel Rivera, he went 1-for-4 with an RBI. Jaden Parsons did have a sacrifice hit, 1.2 advance runners on a bunt, I think, but otherwise went 0-for-3. Chuck Ingram, he had a better day than normal as of late, so maybe breaking out of the slump, hopefully. Went 2-for-3, drew a walk as well. Caden Phillips went 0-for-2 and then had an RBI on a sacrifice. Kind of Lotus pinch hit and went 0-for-1, and David Bishop went 0-for-4. So as a team, 5-for-33, two walks, seven strikeouts, only stranded five. Chuck Ingram, Brady Day were the only players with multi-base hits in this one, but yeah, still not a great day for the offense, with the lone exception really being the fifth inning, where I think K-State scored all of their runs, or at least most of them, or the sixth. The sixth they had four, and they had one in the fourth. So yeah, K-State did make it interesting there for a little bit, but I also wasn't able to even watch this game because I've been doing a summer class last a few days, so Ace, you're gonna have the better narrative on this game anyways.
Unless... I fell asleep after the sixth inning.
Okay, well then, never mind. So yeah, not a ton to write home about. This is kind of a bad weekend to be facing West Virginia anyways, because they're longtime head coach. This was his final home series. So with that and graduation and senior day, just a lot of emotion and pride riding on this series for West Virginia. But despite that, K-State was still able to claw a win away. And that was all I wanted going into this. So that was enough for K-State's RPI to remain, I think, for like the third week in a row in the exact same place. So K-State remains in like the mid-30s in RPI. Because, yeah, they only took one game, but that's a key road win against a quality opponent.
Yeah. In terms of pitching, not really anything to write home about. I mean, Josh Wintrob goes 1 2/3, giving up two earned and two strikeouts. Cole Weisenbaker, who's really come along in the back end of the year, goes one inning, three walks, one strikeout, one wild pitch, one hit by pitch, but somehow works himself out of that jam. Jacob Frost, 1 1/3, 5 runs, 4 of them earned, 1 walk, 1 strikeout, 1 wild pitch. J.J. Slack showed a little bit of chinks in the armor here, 2 1/3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, but 4 strikeouts and a hit by pitch. Then Blake Dean came in, 1 2/3, 2 earned runs off of 3 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. So, I mean,
really nobody had a good day here. No. And the only pitcher not to give up a run was Weisenbaker. And I don't know. I think it must have been that there were some runs credited to Josh in relief, because he had 3 walks, a wild pitch, a hit by pitch, and an intentional walk as well. Mm-hmm. So... Josh probably bore the brunt of at least a few there, but yeah, Josh only going 1 2/3 as the starter, not even breaking 40 pitches. That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's really not great. But in terms of the last little bit of the schedule here in regular season play, the South Dakota game or South Dakota State game was canceled for RPI reasons, which you and I could debate the ethics of the RPI reasoning forever. But I would also rather not today. But in terms of the last games on the schedule, the regular season schedule, the day after, well, whatever, I'll just release this episode on Thursday. But the day that this releases, BYU series will start. BYU has been awful this year. Believe me, I am knocking on wood, because almost every time that I have called a team bad outside of football season this year, they have found some way to embarrass not only K-State, but me. I know one of those is infinitely more important, but it's K-State, by the way. But BYU's been bad pretty much this entire year. So this is a sweep series.
Yeah, K-State absolutely needs to sweep BYU. They're in last place in the conference. It would be embarrassing, frankly, for K-State to not sweep BYU. And there should be at least one game in this series that is just never close, I think. I don't really care if like we have like a close game or even two, but we need to get out of here with 3 wins as we head into the Big 12 tournament. Because if we drop a game to BYU, that's the sort of thing that can really harm our RPI. And we probably aren't going to gain a lot of ground in this series. We just need to not lose ground. So we just need to pick up 3 straight wins against a not good BYU team.
Yeah. But that pretty much wraps up everything that I wanted to say. Do you have any final notes?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, if that's the case, thank you all for listening to this episode of the Aggieville Alley Cats podcast. If you want to follow or contact the show, you can follow us just about anywhere at AggievilleACats. And if you want to email us, we're AggievilleAlleyCats@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on a more personal note, I'm at ACEdward00.
I am at Connor Baltazor, capital C, capital B.
And if you want to support the show financially, please be sure to check out either the official Aggieville Alley Cats merch store or our supporters link, both of which are listed in our podcast and Twitter bios. But most importantly, thank you all for listening to this episode of the Aggieville Alley Cats podcast. Where come rain, shine, or anything in between, we're here to deliver to you the Kansas State sporting news you so love. Stay safe, Alley Cats.